So, last Sabbath, which was the 11th of September, we covered Acts chapter 2, verses 34 to 41. So today, we will continue with verses, we will proceed with verses 42 through, let's see how much we can do. Oh, through the end, which is verse 47. If time permits, we could delve into a little bit of chapter 3. Okay, so let's read on from verse. Oh, before we go to verse 42, just a little bit on verse where we left off, where we ended. So last Sabbath, verse 40 said, "And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, Save yourselves from this crooked generation." That's verse 40 of chapter 2. And this is Peter. He says many other words. And in the account of Acts, because Acts covers so many different actions, you don't really get too much of the teachings in the book of Acts. But Clement does cover a lot of the teachings. And one of those teachings was what our brother Richard was reading it. When I tell you, it's amazing. If you have not read the book of Clement, books of Clement, read it. It's not picking, choosing. It's that these are the entirety of scripture, right? Some books have more information, more of a different type of information than others, but they're all necessary and they're all good. But Elohim led the scribes to include different types of information that when put together, you will get a whole picture. So we gotta avail ourselves to all the scriptures that the ancients did. Don't be fooled by those who are removing scripture, blind, trying to, there are blind guides leading the blind. Okay? So it's amazing. Just like, for instance, the book of Mark, the gospel, there are four gospels. The gospel of Mark is very short, includes a lot of action, not that much teaching. And the book of Mark is a lot like Matthew, except Matthew has more detail. And Luke has other detail that Mark doesn't, or Matthew doesn't, and vice versa. And so does John. John is an entirely different type of writer. He has different types of information and deep teachings of Yeshua, the closer teachings of Yeshua that you don't find really in the other gospels. But the other gospels cover much of his actions, while the book of John covers a lot of his teachings. So that's how the scriptures are. So avail yourself while you can, because Elohim in these last days has made these scriptures that were hidden available. Okay? Don't be deceived by groups, religious groups that are telling you, oh, this or that is not inspired, and they're just speaking by opinion of scholars rather than having read the material and distinguishing truth, because truth is one thing, and when it agrees, it's one, and it is all truth. So let's so with many so in other words, these many. And with many other words, yeah, he bore witness and continued to exhort them. These many words are found in books like the books of the records of Clement. Clement worked with Peter a lot by the way. That makes sense too. He worked a lot with Peter. So let's continue. He says, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Brother Felix, when he read our opening scripture in Romans chapter 12 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable will of Elohim, that you may prove it. Right? So we have to save ourselves, be not conformed to this crooked generation. See, it's all saying the same thing in various ways. So we can understand. So verse 41. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added to that day about 3,000 souls. And we said those, and he says those who received the word. How? received it. Again, the parable was the sower. Again, rejoicing, receiving it with joy and conviction. Those were the ones that were baptized. So this was the first mighty act of the apostles since Yeshua rose from the dead. This was their first mighty public act. Amazing. Through the power of the Spirit. And about 3,000 souls were in that one day. That's amazing. So let's continue. So now we're going to see. Let me see. What else did I want to say? Oh, yes. So on this Pentecost. So we know, going back a little bit, we know that on the Feast of First Fruits, when the Master showed himself alive to the women and commissioned them to tell the brethren that he was risen, when he later that evening met the brethren, he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. But this, and that was on the first day of the week, right? Yes, it was. It was on Yom HaBikurim, the Feast of First Fruits. So here on the second first fruits, 50 days later, he does what? He ratifies or he confirms the covenant publicly. The first time he did it privately with them in the room, but there it's before thousands. Thousands were there, and 3,000 of those that were there who were of the right heart, who were good ground, accepted, were enjoined into the covenant. So when we are baptized, we enter the covenant of Messiah, the new covenant, and follow his Torah, not according to the first covenant, but according to the new covenant. Because Elohim's Torah instructions are carried out in different ways depending on what he says in the particular covenant. Whether it was the covenant with Adam, as I mentioned, covenant with Noah, covenant with Abraham, with Jacob, through Moses, through David. The covenant, the laws are handled differently. So now we need to handle the law according to the new covenant. And I think today in the reading, I don't remember who, there was something that alluded to that. I don't remember what it was. So let's continue. So verse 42. So that was their major act, and that was Elohim's great act by his Spirit to confirm the covenant. It wasn't something done in some hidden place. It's confirmed publicly. Amen. So verse 42 of Acts chapter 2 says, and they, the blessed apostles, it's like I never met them. I've come to love them so much. Here, I appreciate them so much for what the Spirit has done through them, and that the Spirit of Elohim was in them. I don't know how people could just loosely talk evil of these men who lived their lives and suffered and in many ways. And if the records are true about how they were martyred, except for John, how dare anyone? And there are some that are doing just that, speaking evil. Of the brethren, of true brethren. How terrible that is. And they slander these devoted people. And verse 42, let's go back. Let me stay focused. Let my heart drive me too much. This verse 42 says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles. The 3,000, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Why did they devote themselves? Because the power of the Spirit, the manifest Spirit, was in them. They were not following teachers. They were not following rabbis. They were not following learned men. In other words, men whose acts and strength were just based on what they carnally learned. You know, that they learned by, no, these were men, they're following these men because they could see the divine manifesting through them. And that's how it ought to be. If any of you have read the paper that I have online, it's called, I forgot the exact name, but it talks about who the true leaders are, who are true ministers. And it goes into detail qualifying who ministers are, like who pastors are, who are deacons, and who are these true people, so we're not deceived. Okay? Based on the scripture. So, but, and these people, they, the 3,000, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. That's the key major, these things, that's what our lifestyle, in large should look like. What I mean in bold, if there are things in our lifestyle as a congregation that should be bolded in us, like in our regular life, it's devotion to the apostles' teachings. It's fellowship to the breaking of bread and prayers. These are the things that should be the highlights, the hallmarks of our lifestyle. So that when the world presents troubles for us, we can say, no, we don't live like this. This is our lifestyle. We're no part of the evil that's going on in this world. We're not causing anyone any harm. We're not part of anyone causing anyone's death, even though there may be death all around us, but we have nothing to do with it. Nothing. We're innocent by the mercy of the Lord, sanctified by Him, not by our righteousness, but by His. And the hallmark of our lives should be those devoted to the teaching and fellowship. Seriously, that's very important. It can't be, oh, what do you like to do? Oh, I like to go baseball games. A lot of people, when you speak with them, what's the highlight of their lives? It's their hobbies. Mm-mm-mm. And these things have to be so by the heart, not by compulsion. If we're going to devote ourselves to the teachings of the apostles and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers by guilt, because we feel guilty, so I'm going to do it, then we're not doing it yet. We need to pray. If anyone's doing these things and it's hard for you, you need to pray that the Spirit of Elohim will cause you to love these things. You cannot love them on your own. There was a time I did not love these things. I remember I dreaded going to quote-unquote church. I dreaded especially prayer time when people would just say a bunch of words for hours. I dreaded those. Maybe that in itself, the lack of reality of those events, the way it was being done, had a thing to do. But I did not like these things. But when I saw the word, when I saw the law, the instruction, I saw that I am supposed to like these things. I am supposed to like the teachings of the apostles. I'm supposed to like fellowship. I am supposed to break the bread. I'm supposed to commit myself to prayer. The law said so. But now the Spirit, I needed the Spirit to help me now be conformed and transformed by the renewing of my mind, as said in Romans chapter 12. You see? So it's not a matter of law and compulsion. The law tells us what to do. The Spirit, if we ask, enables us to do what. So we need to be like this. So if any of you out there feel, oh, this is not you, it needs to be you. But don't worry. It is the Father's will to give you the kingdom. Just ask Elohim, dear Elohim, I'm not like this. Please make me like this. You will become like that. Wonderful Elohim that He is. He'll make you like that. He'll make us all like that more and more. So verse 43 says, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the Shlukim, through the apostles. And all who believed, verse 44, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, verse 45, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all and as to all as any had need. And day by day attending the temple, day by day attending the Mishkan, the temple, together and breaking bread in their homes. They received their food with glad and generous hearts. Or how the King James was, I like the way the King James placed it, with simplicity of heart. Yesterday, last night, I read a
a little blurb, or was it this morning? I think it was this morning from, no, last night, from a dear brother by the name of Micah, and from My House Ministries, I think it's called. And the brother just wrote out, just presented the message of obedience and the law in such a way that was so straightforward and clear, with the scriptures, explanation, scriptures and explanation. That's how it's always done. As our sister, I believe it was Cindy last time, asked a question about how I think Ezra or Nehemiah, how when they were doing the teaching, how they taught the Torah and then explained it. It requires that you don't just read the Torah and read it. You do that for yourself as a teacher, but when we're sharing the word, if we understand it, we read and explain, read and explain. And so, where am I going with this? So, awe and wonders, and they, day a day, and I'm sorry, verse 46, and day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in the temples. Yes, with the word simplicity of heart. So when this brother said that, I wanted to share the word. So you, I love the way you shared the word with simplicity of heart. So that's the word used in the King James, or with glad and generous hearts. See, not begrudgingly. And some of you are, we're so eager to come on today, not because of any human being, but because of what Elohim is doing. One sister last night said, and tomorrow we'll meet again on Sabbath. And that's how we feel. And I remember my brother, Felix, the host, who hosts for us. There was a time, and you know, he could say more of this at another. There's a time years ago, he was looking for work. You know, he finished college, couldn't find work. Then I shared with him, brother, just keep the Sabbath. Just start keeping the Sabbath. Wait a minute, the Sabbath commandment says you don't work on the Sabbath. Doesn't that make it harder? In the flesh, but not by the Spirit of Elohim. So he started keeping the Sabbath. Shortly after keeping the Sabbath, he got job offers, and he accepted his work in transit. And he's been working there for a number of years, a long time, and he could tell you. And he never had to work on Sabbath. Never. While others who were there before him, you know, they don't have that benefit. They don't have that necessary because it's not in their hearts. But he did it not according to the law, but according to the Spirit. He saw what the law says when I told him you need to keep the Sabbath. But then he, with a grateful heart, loved, kept the Sabbath. And from then on, like he would tell me, he just loves going. He just loves the fellowship. Felix is the type of person that would not eat in anyone's home. That's how we were raised. I was like that too. But then he just loved to eat in the brethren's home. How does that happen? It is the true work of the Spirit. So again, this is how these things are to be the major things in our lives, in our lifestyle. And day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they receive their food with gladness and generous hearts, praising Elohim and having favor with all the people. And the sovereign added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Day by day, this was being done. To those who were being saved. So let's go back to a little bit. As I was reading, they make these type of things excite my heart, right? So I was supposed to read through and then teach, but I was found myself teaching throughout. So I won't repeat everything that I've said. So I already explained verse 42, how this needs to be. The reason that these things are said here is because these need to be the major characteristics of brethren. Of this will be the true characteristics of true believers. If you don't love these things, you have an opportunity to love them. You have to ask. There is no commandment of Elohim that you will naturally like, really. Except when it's in your favor. But you won't necessarily like to do them yourself. Nobody likes to be lied to. No one ever is tempted, oh, please lie to me, please lie to me. But we are sometimes tempted to lie. I said tempted, not desire. Because we might find ourselves in a situation and the temptation from the ivory come lie about it. Like when my wife went to the hospital, and I needed to see her, all of a sudden I found, they told me, no, you can't come unless you have this COVID, test showing you're a negative. And I said, okay, no problem. So I'm checking off. Then all of a sudden it says, do you have a sore throat? Guess what? For years, I've never had a sore throat. Guess what? That same week that I had committed my wife to the hospital, that same week I had developed for some reason, I know the reason, but I won't go in there, a sore throat. I inhaled something, inadvertently, unwittingly, and I developed a sore throat. So guess what? If I mark I had a sore throat, which was one of the symptoms, they would say, nope, can't come in. But not only that, I didn't know that, but I put, yes, I have a sore throat. I just marked it. I didn't listen to the temptation. So in other words, the law is not always pleasant. Because I could have easily, you know, said, no, I don't have a sore throat, right? Who would know? Elohim knows, I know. But the love of Elohim makes these things far from me. I'm not going to deceive anybody no matter what. But anyway, it works out that I did what I needed to do in righteousness, and then I was able to get the approval to see my wife in the hospital without breaking Elohim's law in any way. So the point is, we need to ask about the law. Otherwise, it's always going to be a law. It's always going to be an instruction. You always need to be told what to do. We need to grow up like little children. We give them instruction and we remind them. But when they grow up, you like when they're of a certain age, you don't tell them, look, when you use the potty, you need what to do, because they're of age. They know what to do. They need to keep themselves clean. That's the purpose of the law. Okay. As long as the law is like a rule to you, then the Spirit is not yet working in that area in your life. We need to make sure the Spirit makes that law a part of it. Remember the covenant? It shall not be like the covenant that I made with them in the past. I'm paraphrasing, but it's a new covenant. It is a new covenant. It's not a renewed covenant, brethren. We could go into that another time. It's a new covenant, different. This covenant, He will write the law in our hearts. Okay, so it's part of our nature. We don't need to be told. It's just like a mature, grown person doesn't need to be told some things. He or she knows what to do and does it and would never think of not doing it. All right? So we need to ask so our characteristics can be these things. So verse 43 says, and awe came upon every soul. Every soul. Awe came upon those who believe. Awe came upon those who did not believe. Every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. We don't have too much record of what that is. I believe Clement has some of those records too. Clement has some things that Acts doesn't have, and Acts has some things that Clement doesn't have. They're to be put together so you could get the wonderful picture. You'll be amazed. I can't say it enough. And I'm sure Brother Richard and all who have read the book of Clement, their heads are going, yes, yes. Because these books, the Elohim has had them for us and are available to us. They were available for a long time, but the churches did not tell us about them. But all who ask, receive. And I know we were asking, and so we receive. So with signs and wonders, I don't need to go there. These things are necessary. It's a part of the congregation of Elohim. The congregation of Elohim cannot really survive, won't survive without signs and wonders. Will not be respected without signs of wonders. Signs and wonders of some kind. Some may be small, some bigger, some real big. But there must be some, because that's the evidence of the Spirit in the working in the midst of the congregation. That Yeshua is in our midst. That's the evidence. Because He takes care of us. He walks between the candlesticks. He walked between the seven lampstands in times of old. And He continues to walk among all His congregation, wherever the members are located. And so he makes his loving presence known. We read about his steadfast love in some of the readings today. And in the reading of, I forgot which one, but one of the readings talks about the gifts. I believe it was the one Brother Richard read from Romans chapter 11, I think, where it speaks about the gifts. Or it might have been Brother Phil, but someone read that, and he speaks about the gifts. These are to be parts. And that's wonderful. Don't feel bad. Don't feel stress. I used to feel stress. So don't feel stress. Just ask. Is that wonderful? Just ask. Ask the Father to do his will, to work his wonders in your life, and you will start seeing it. Ask the Father to give you those dreams and visions that Acts talk, that Peter talk, and you will start seeing them, but you need to ask. It's not just learning to no end. We get the instructions to do and to experience. And verse 4, and all who believe were together and had all things in common. We're definitely not there yet. But guess what? No congregation of Elohim can survive without being here at some point. We need to get to this point where we have all things in common. And remember, everything has to do with context and making sense. There can be, right now, we cannot, even if we want to, if we were ready, we do not have that because we're all scattered. We're all scattered. So we don't have all things in common, but we can have a lot of things in common. All that we can put together, we can. We could put our prayers together. We could do our services together. We could make little clusters and unite our little clusters as we can to fellowship and pray as we are doing now. We could do the work that is distribute the gospel message together in a cohesive, unified effort. That's how we have to work. If we do it apart, it's not going to be effective. And neither does Yeshua want us to do it that way. He wants us to do things at the same time. If you notice, when he sent out his disciples, he did not send some and leave some behind. But he would send them two by two to this, but he gives them their mission on the same day. They all go to do the same thing in different locations. But they're not going to do different things. They're doing the same thing. And so and that's what's going to draw the attention for Elohim that we need. Because when we do these things, you're going to start seeing the right people will start noticing. You don't be surprised if you start seeing the works of Elohim proclaimed on the news. Why? Because we're doing it together. And that would be a good thing because it will grab the attention of the world to the works of Elohim. So that's why we need to have strength. Do not despise small beginnings. Because the congregation of Elohim is huge. We just are becoming a part of the congregation in his hand. Or we might have been far, but we're coming together in his hand here in the New York area, in the Washington area, or wherever you are. That's why I say find your brethren, because we have wonderful work to do, and you will be blessed by doing these things. Let me try to finish here. So all who believe were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions, belongings, and distributing the proceeds to all, as many had need. Now, so I'm not going to sell my things. That's... Nope. Yeah. You shouldn't. We shouldn't unless we have someone up like the apostles, and I'm not. So please don't sell your things. And I know you wouldn't. But you're why we're all wiser than that. But there are some people that would want you to do just that. No, you only do that when the sign of the prophet, when the signs of the Spirit are truly with someone, then you can know you can what it says, be devoted to that individual. You can. That's what Yeshua would want you to be. Like the people were to be devoted to Moses and Aaron in his name. Right? Whoever he established by the power of his Spirit, not by words, but by the power of his Spirit. it is His will for us to support that person or persons fully. And there were some, when they were selling their possessions, they did not make themselves poor. They actually made themselves richer. What happened was that it became where, if there was an imbalance, all of a sudden all became rich, you can say. There was no poor among them on account of that. And remember, these were spirit-led people. There were no tares in that number. Okay, all who were believing were true believers. All who received the Spirit were the true believers. The Spirit never came upon anyone who did not truly believe. If you think you've read something that hints that, check it again. Look at the context. You will see that's not what it's saying. You will see that's not what it's saying. So they helped each other as a family. Somewhere we read that we were one body today, right? They were, that's the beginning of that one body. The Spirit in them was shared among them, just as you and I, we breathe air, the same oxygen. You and your family are breathing the same oxygen, the people around you. Here, these people were filled with the Spirit, and they had the same, they were sharing that same one Spirit in them all. I would have to talk about that a little bit more another time. So that's why they could easily do that. It was like family. They became family instantly because their hearts were transformed. They saw each other truly as family. They were not just calling each other because they were told, you know, you have to call her, you have to call him your brother or sister. You have to. No. It was a transformation and understanding of the mind and heart where they knew it was so by the Spirit. Because the Spirit is infinitely greater than blood, than the relationship of blood. Because the blood represents the Spirit. That's why, or the wine represents the Spirit, and the wine represents the blood. So the Spirit in us makes us true families. But these things need to be manifest. It was easy for them because they all saw it happen. They all saw it happen at the same time. It's not so easy for us because a lot of us have never met each other face to face. But Elohim will help us with these things. So they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. To all who? To the unbelievers? No. Only to the believers. This was a family matter. Family of Elohim matter. They shared among themselves. The brethren, not giving it to the outsider, to the scoffer, to the one who say, oh, you're full of wine. No, that's different. Do you help others? Yes, but not in this case. Not in this situation is not what it's talking about. This is the bread of the brethren. The livelihood of the brethren and only for the brethren. So, and the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day attending the temple together. So we need to congregate, assemble as often as we can, not just on Sabbath and on the holy days. So we need to pray about that, because that could be a little challenging for some of us. But we need to increase the number of our fellowship. All right? Because they did it day by day, and the law required that. See, in the law, you had the morning and evening sacrifice. And people needed to stop in their tracks, whether they were in Jerusalem or not, to offer praise to Elohim and in union with what was going on in the Mishkan, in the temple in Jerusalem, or in the case of Moses, in the deserts, in the lands. And together, and breaking bread in their homes, which is something we can do. This is why I said, find your brethren, invite them in your homes, and increase the number of us fellowshipping in the Sabbath. Increase the number of workers for Elohim. Because the more workers we have, the more we can preach the good news. The more we can share with people what we ought to be, what Elohim wants us to be. And so participate in the process of transforming by the Spirit of Elohim, working and is transforming this world into the kingdoms of Elohim. We need to be involved in that. And they receive their food again with glad, generous hearts. I already said that. It's simplicity. So praising Elohim and having favor with all the people. How many times have you heard in the, oh, my life used to be great. Like my daughter was sharing with me how someone in some large religious organization was saying, oh, how my life was wonderful before I became a believer. But as soon as I became a believer, all of a sudden, I started to have problems. People started to hate me. That's not scripture. Often what happens is people learn something about the Bible, then they don't wait for the whole counsel of Elohim, and they go and try to share the word, and they're making tons of mistakes and making enemies instead of praising Elohim. That's where much of the persecution comes from, unfortunately. The regular people will always respect a true Christian, a true believer who lives the right life. Often persecution comes from because people think they're supposed to impose their faith, or they become divisive. They divide over anything rather than understanding, being patient and gracious, wanting to bring healing to others, wanting to bring knowledge. Not condemnation, not ready to cut off, but to be patiently being a light and drawing others and lovingly and showing the characteristics of Elohim, which is goodness, which Clement again records Paul the Apostle's teachings very clearly what it means to be good. All right? What it means to be good. You've heard that the Eternal is good and His mercy endures forever. The record of the Apostle's teaching makes that, like, really elucidates that, clarifies that very well. Then, oh, for me, it was an eye-opener when I read what Peter said about goodness. It makes a lot of sense. Then I could understand in Genesis with Cain, how Elohim treated Cain. See, because we could get confused, deceived by the law. It's not the law, but the adversary can deceive us by the law. I was thinking of this concept this morning, how the adversary deceives us by the scriptures because we're not rightly dividing the scriptures. So he divides it. He deceives us because he knows it. Because some people try to impose one covenant's practice on another covenant. They expect some, like me, for instance, I was expecting Elohim to treat Cain harshly, to punish Cain, to put him to death immediately, because that's what the law says in the covenant through Moses. But the covenant of Moses did not exist then. So he did not. His goodness, it shows his character, how even though Cain was a little nothing evil creature in to him, how Elohim never, how he spoke to Elohim so disrespectfully. Am I my brother's keeper? Whoa, you're speaking to Elohim like that? And what did Elohim say? Did Elohim say, how dare you speak to me? Tudum, you're no more. No, he spoke with him gently and humbly. He didn't even bring it up. That's the goodness of Elohim. But we'll miss it if we're not dividing the scriptures right. That's the nature of Elohim. I'm telling you, brethren, if our sins did not affect each other, he would probably punish no one for sin. Because sin, as he told to Job, affects a man like you, he says to Job. Does nothing to me. Sin is nothing to Elohim. Elohim hates sin because sin destroys, adversely affects his creation. He doesn't want that to happen. He doesn't want that sin. That's why he punishes sin. But sin will be and pass away like nothing. Just like the darkness is nothing to him. But for us, he lets us have the light. But the darkness and the light are the same to him. I think our sister Rose read that either last night or some other time. All right, but so let's move on. So where was I? Let's see.
Oops, I turned the page too quickly here. Okay,
so praising, so no. So no, the point we're saying is that we will have the favor of the people around us. That has been my experience and the experience of many. We will have problems with the wicked. That's where we will really have real problem. The regular people, we may have misunderstanding, but if with patience, you will see they'll come around. They may not come to faith, but they'll come to respect you. So we should have for the word, not too much, except when the wicked are in power. That's when we start having issues. So praising Elohim and having favor with all the people. That's what we should be doing. And that's what we can expect in our daily life. Let's try to finish this so we could have some time to do a bit of the book of Revelations. And the Eternal added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Those who are being saved. I'll stop here and we'll revisit this last portion next Sabbath, being saved. So thank you very much, dear brethren. We're going to give a 5-minute break. So you could do what you need to, then we'll come back and do a little bit of the book of Revelations. Thank you.